Psalm 36. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. I'd like to speak primarily on verse 8. And my original thoughts were moved about as I began to study the original text of this word, of this verse in the Hebrew. So I don't even think I'll get around to what I thought that I would say. But I became very excited about what I found, and I hope you will be so as well. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. That would be God's house. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. This is a beautiful, beautiful picture. Thou shalt be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Well, let's take a look at a couple of these words to help us understand the true picture that the writer David is giving here. The first one is the fatness of thy house. This is a very descriptive, maybe one that we might not normally use to describe the house of God. But hopefully when we understand the usage of this word, it will make sense. The Hebrew word is dashan, and there are two main words that are used to describe this idea of fatness. And this one is less common. It is mainly used to describe fat ashes in regards to the Old Testament sacrifices. Yeah, you're already getting interested, aren't you? So when they took a lamb and they sacrificed the lamb, it eventually came to ashes. And several instances are described where they would sweep up the ashes from the sacrifice. Now, a lot of the times that the Hebrew word ashes is used is not this word, but there are a few instances where this one is used, and it is specifically describing ashes of fat from the animal. So why is this significant? The fat animals, the lamb, which was one of the fattest animals that they had, the fullest animal was considered the best sacrifice. It was plump. It was full. It was fat. So the more fat, the better. It was a sign of prosperity. It was a sign of completeness. And it would be also giving their best animal, the one that was the fattest. So we have this idea of sacrificing a fat, a full animal, and then this word is describing the ashes of that particular part of the animal, the fat ashes. So it's a sign of fullness, of prosperity, of completeness. And it might still not make too much sense, but we'll get there. The other word that I like to bring out, and then we'll go to a chapter in Isaiah, is abundantly satisfied. This is the Hebrew word rabbah, and I'm going to get out my Dictionary of Old New Testament Words and just read you the different ways this is described. To be satiated or saturated, have or drink one's fill, to be drunk or intoxicated, to drench, to water abundantly, to saturate, to water. To bathe, to soak. So here we have the idea, if we read it again. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Now, to hopefully bring some fullness to these ideas, let's turn to Isaiah 34. And I'll read the first 8 verses. Isaiah 34. This is a description of the Lord taking vengeance upon the evil nations. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. Starting to sound a little bit like a sacrifice. And all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the tree, death, destruction. For the sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, and upon the people of my curse, to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and the great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorns, which are rhinoceroses, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their lands shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. So, first of all, let's note that the Lord will avenge Zion. So, remember that. Alright. The two words that we have noted are in this scripture. And this may seem a very strange place to go to compare with the abundant satisfaction of the fatness of thy house. But there is a connection. In verse 5, It says, for my sword shall be bathed in heaven. This is the same word that is used, the rava, that describes abundantly satisfied. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. And then also in verse 7, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. One of the commentators I read in verse 5 pointed out that for my sword shall be bathed in heaven. It doesn't say here that it is bathed in the enemy, as in blood, but it is bathed in heaven. And he said his sword has been restrained. It has been waiting for the day of judgment. It has been just filling and filling and getting fuller and fuller and waiting for all the evil to come together, to come to a fulfillment, so the sword will finally come down upon them. So in this sense, it is bathed in heaven. So it is being full. It is becoming satisfied. It is waiting for that day of completion in heaven. And then in verse 7, their land will be soaked with blood. So we have an obvious picture of the complete destruction and the slaughter of the enemy, in which the land will be soaked with blood, using the same word. Now, we said in Psalm 36 that this was abundantly satisfied. Well, so the picture here is that it is complete. It is a complete destruction. It is a fulfillment of God's justice. In fact, if we go back to verse 6, the sword of the Lord is filled with blood. The word here for filled is male, or male, which is different than the rava. And it is, in all descriptions that I read, indicates a satisfaction. And I imagine that our word malice, or those types of words, have some relation to this word male, because it is a complete revenge. That is the idea. So the sword of the Lord is filled with blood. So what's the story here is that when the Lord executes judgment, when the Lord executes revenge for his people, for his righteousness, ultimately, it is complete. He does not leave anything out. And this is the picture that we have here. In fact, we see that some of the great animals, the rhinos, the bulls, that were the strong, mighty animals of the land, they were destroyed. So the second part is our word, Dishon, the fat word. Let's go back to verse 5. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness and with the blood of lambs and goats. Here's that lamb. The fattest, the fullest, the best sacrifice. So God is going straight for the heart. With the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust, even their dust, made fat with fatness. Remember, this is the best possible execution that could be done. And this is God's execution, and he is doing it completely and fully. So It's as though there is no stone left unturned. So the picture I see here in this description of the destruction of the evil nations, which are typified by Idumea or Edom, I believe, is that when God planned and finally executed His judgment, it was fat, it was full, it was complete, it was total. So this is a very dark picture. This is a very dark picture. But we have a scene that where we see that God, when He executes His judgment, when He executes His wrath towards evil to justify His holy name, that this is what it looks like. And these words are used discriminately, because there are other words that you could use for fat and being soaked or filled, and this is the word the writer chose to describe this. So let's take that picture and go back to Psalm 36. I hope that was at least halfway understandable. Let's go back to Psalm 36. And we'll start at 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied, Rava, with the fatness of thy house, Dashan. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. So, understanding what we saw in Isaiah, what we see here is that just like God will, when He executes His righteous indignation towards the evil nations wholly and completely and leaves no stone unturned, He goes to the very heart of the culture, the epitome of prosperity, and he with fatness destroys them. We see that just as He does that against the evil men, towards His people that are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, we see that He is equally and fully, with no stone unturned, benevolent and full and gracious and complete and not holding back at all, like the sword at the beginning was holding back, waiting for the culmination of evil to present itself. His goodness and His benevolence to His people is thoroughly and completely poured out here in the house of the Lord. So it's darkness and it's light, but it's the same God, it's the same perfect entity that does nothing halfway. He doesn't, I sort of love these people, I sort of hate these people. He hates evil and He loves His children. So He is 100% all the time. So the house of the Lord, we will become fat with the fullness of God in the house of the Lord. And that is not anywhere else that we will become that. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. A.R. Fawcett said, to describe this. He said, the fatness of God's house is its rich spiritual provision of divine ordinances for the refreshment of his people. So here, God has chosen to pour himself, all his fullness, all his completeness. He has revealed himself to us through the word. But here, in a very special way, he says, you will be satisfied in my house like no other place, though I am everywhere at all times. No other place is fat with my glory as my house. So this is why we must be in the house of the Lord. This is why we must love the house of the Lord. Haggai chapter 2, verse 9. I want to go there. Chapter 2, verse 9 says, when they were rebuilding the temple, I believe, and the second one was not as beautiful or large or grandiose as the first one. And the Israelites who remembered the first one, they were very much saddened and distraught and discouraged and complaining that this second temple was, it just wasn't even to be compared. Why are we even building it? Well, Haggai 2:9 says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. And that certainly had an application immediately to that temple. But today, we have a better house again. It is much, much better. It is much fuller. It is much, we have the knowledge of Jesus Christ that they did not have, and of God himself, his revealed will. And in his house, in the church of Jesus Christ, he has appointed this place to be where he reveals himself to us. He has appointed a preacher to preach the word, to open up the scriptures to us. And so this is the central place of our life, as it should be. So today we have it even better than David was telling that they had it then. So remember, the house is fat. And you will receive the fatness of the house, and you will be abundantly satisfied beyond measure. Because God is beyond measure, and that is how he loves. Completely and bigger than we can comprehend. The end of James says, I'm just going to turn to it because I won't remember it. The last verse of John, of the book of John, says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself should not contain the books that should be written. And this reminds me of the song, The Love of God. Scrolls could not contain the whole, etc. That is how God, this is God. Amen.